evacuate. Hot temperatures are expected again across the state, with the ban in place until midnight. And in Western Australia, a bushfire watch and act warning remains in place for Howick, Botetourt and Cape Arid in the Shire of Esperance. Prime Minister Scott Morrison has added a record seventh woman to his cabinet after two senior Liberals announced they'll leave Parliament at the May federal election. Defence Minister Christopher Pyne announced yesterday he'll quit after 26 years in Parliament, while Defence Industry Minister Steve Chobo will go after 17 years. Emergency Management Minister Linda Reynolds has been promoted to Mr Chobo's role, and she'll replace Pyne as Defence Minister if the Coalition wins the next election. Senator Reynolds' elevation makes her the seventh woman in Morrison's cabinet, overtaking the record of six women under the Rudd and Turnbull governments. Pop superstar Kylie Minogue, drag queens, glitter and flames has dazzled the crowds at Sydney's 41st Mardi Gras parade. Almost 200 floats made their way down Oxford Street on Saturday night, celebrating a multitude of cultures, religious beliefs, organisations and causes. Max Gray has more.
Under the theme Fearless, Sydney's 41st Mardi Gras parade hit the streets with tens of thousands of marchers and 200 floats taking part. Deputy Labor leader Tanya Plibersek says the celebrations are a marker of the parade's growth in popularity since its inception.
What we're feeling tonight is a lot of celebration, thinking about how far we've come.
Australian singer Kylie Minogue was even on hand to make an appearance at the march, saying it was great to be back after first attending in 1994. The celebrations once again drew the crowds, with roughly 300,000 people in attendance.
Emergency services were called to a house in Orange in the early hours of Saturday after reports of a fight between two men who were known to each other. On arrival, a 20-year-old man was found unresponsive with a stab wound to his chest, and he died at the scene despite attempts by police to perform CPR. A 26-year-old man fled the scene in a Holden Commodore, but was arrested in the afternoon after attending Orange Police Station. He was charged with murder and refused bail to appear in Orange Bail Court today. The US has launched its trial of a new system to put astronauts into space, the first launch from US soil in 8 years. The BBC's Caleb Gosh has more.
3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition, liftoff.
Up and away, SpaceX Mighty Falcon rocket, and on top, the Dragon space capsule, designed to take four astronauts to space. But not just yet. Instead, just a solitary crash test dummy wired with sensors is in one of these seats. This uncrewed test is part of an ambitious NASA project to send astronauts into space from US soil once more. If they work as planned, NASA hopes to use the vehicles by the end of the year.
This is Air News. First league of football, and Tottenham hero Hugo Lloris shrugged off a couple of costly midweek mistakes to become his side's hero on Saturday, as his 90th minute penalty save earned Tottenham Hotspur a 1-1 draw at home to Arsenal in the North London Derby. The Frenchman had allowed Pedro's shot through his legs and was partly culpable in Kieran Trippier's own goal in a 2-0 defeat at Chelsea that heaped pressure on the stuttering Spurs. But at Wembley on Saturday, he kept out Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang's spot kick to seal a first draw of the season for the third-place Tottenham and keep his side 4 points ahead of Arsenal in the race for a top-four finish. Aaron Ramsey gave Arsenal a 16th-minute lead, but Kane levelled from the spot in the 72nd minute after being adjudged to have been fouled by Shkodran Mustafi as he tried to meet a Christian Eriksen free kick. In a frantic finale, Lloris earned his stripes with a save from Aubameyang as Tottenham's 28-game drawless streak, the third longest in Premier League history, ended. To AFL, and the exemplary professionalism of GWS vice-captain Stephen Coniglio is rubbing off on some of his younger teammates, with teenager Jai Caldwell pushing hard for an AFL first-round debut. Midfield dynamo Coniglio starred in yesterday's 22-point pre-season win over Sydney, accumulating 35 possessions and 10 tackles in addition to goaling after just 20 seconds. Australian Independent Radio News.
The Mighty Mayor Winks, going for 31 in a row. Join us Monday morning for a comprehensive wrap. Dean Lester, the Duff and Glenn Munsey. The slipper puzzle coming together with the skyline and the sweet embrace. Join us, Punters Postmortem, 9 a.m.
Nova Employment has been matching businesses to staff with ability for over 28 years and have an unbeatable track record of success. Nova can assist businesses of all sizes.
I'm Susie from Extend Bar in Parramatta. Nova Employment has matched our vacancy with an employee who has excellent work ethic and great attention to detail. I'd recommend other employers focus on ability.
Recruiting? Choose Nova Employment, Sydney's premier disability employment service. Visit novaemployment.com.au.
It's as much a part of the autumn as the Derby and the
fraternity mass brings all sections of the racing industry together. Everyone is welcome to attend the mass in the Royal Randwick Ballroom, Randwick Racecourse at 11 a.m. Sunday, March 17. Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Yeah, welcome to the program. I nearly said welcome to the morning.
Oh, you can say that too.
Come on, you're allowed.
Good morning, everyone.
You're allowed one stuff up every now and then, aren't you?
That's straight off the bat. First of all.
Hey, having a great start to your Sunday morning, everyone. I know we are here in the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend booth up there in Francis. Where are we? Francis Forest. So
got yeah, that right. Yeah.
I tell you what. What time did we get home from lunch last Sunday, Ray? It was late.
I know that.
Thank you very much to everyone at China Doll.
We have sampled the fine fare at China Doll.
Absolutely, yeah.
Massively endorse that product.
Yeah, we ensconced ourselves down there at Woolloomooloo.
We took centre and leg, didn't we?
Didn't we? What?
You know, we got the tap on the shoulder about 5:30. Gentlemen, we need you to leave so they can clean up the tables.
Yeah. We also roped dinner cover. We had champion jockey Huey Bowman, who had a busy week. Mm. We roped him into a couple of beers as well, too. And I think I'm right in saying he was happy to partake.
Yeah, no, he was off a Group 1 win last week and again yesterday.
Yes, 23 in total. Mm. So, he's travelling okay. And, of course, he's there with his lovely wife, Christine. It was great to catch up with him. 13:53:53 is the open line number. Who did you have lunch with during the week? No, that's not our talk.
Have you changed the talk
together? We'll clear that up. Raven, just before we get to what's been happening, and there is lots going on in the world of rugby league. We'll get to that shortly. And I mean on the field and off the field as well. An incredible 23rd Group 1 victory for Winks yesterday. Just amazing. Happy Clapper took it to her. Blake Shin,
great,
we're going to have Blake Shin on the program a little bit later. It just said, righto, well, if you're the best in the land, if you're the best that's ever been, as a lot of people are saying, prove it.
Mm.
So she did.
Exactly.
By a couple of lengths in record time.
Phenomenal.
Just incredible. So we'll chat to Blake about that. Mark Newnham's going to be on the program. Nikita Jane is a star.
Mm. Some win.
Hope she runs around next week.
Some win.
Against the Autumn Sun. We'll ask Mark about it. I'm sure he'd be sick of talking about that, but we'll ask him anyway. We're also going to speak to Debbie Kapoutis. This is just an incredible ride that she's been on, that in many ways she's not alone now. More and more people are going with her. Certainly the racing world, you could argue even more widely the sporting world, and you could probably even go wider again. And those people with a passing interest in racing are all amazed at what Winks is doing.
Of
course I did.
Where were you?
I'll tell you where I was. Mm. I was sitting at the kitchen table, and I was watching it on my tab app on the phone because I was there doing some work for today's program. I had the form guide out.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy had just come back from a run. And I said, sit down, honey, and watch this. So we sat there and watched it.
The kids watch it, or they're at the back playing, were they?
What do you reckon? They're at the back playing.
Yeah.
Just incredible. Just incredible that she was under pressure, I think. I don't know whether Huey thought she was under pressure, but I thought, hang on, here we go. Oh, no, she's done that pretty comfortably.
That's just, Hugh said in the end, one with relative ease, was his quote.
Yeah, she did. Mm. So she did. Two to go, Ray.
extraordinary. Only 14,800. I say that, I think that was slightly disappointing because I thought there'd be a lot more.
Right.
After just over 15,000 went to the Apollo. I'm not making excuses. Was it the Mardi Gras, the roadworks around Randwick? All those things might have come into play. But how many people watched it? People like yourself made sure they found a TV or radio to watch or listen at 3:40.
So what are you saying? People, rather than go to the races, went to the Mardi Gras? So now you're saying Winx is a gay icon as well?
No, the...
So we're going to, like, Kylie Minogue, Winx,
totally
gay icon. Have I misinterpreted that?
Yes.
Right, oh,
what
sorry,
I was saying, the road closures, which I got caught in, by the way, on the way home.
Oh, now we get to the heart of it. This is a blow-up. This, go on, have a go. Who's the roads minister? Go on, have a go.
What's his name? What is her name?
What about Clover Moore? Did she agree to the road closures last night? Go on, have a go.
I've got to blame myself. I didn't check the road closures, but they changed from last year, see? So I was completely in a state of flux.
Can you blame someone at that
time? Yeah, I'd love to, but I don't know who to blame. Anyway, it took me over 2 hours to get home and missed most of the first half of the Charity Shield.
Right.
But South Sydney 36, St George Illawarra 24, best team clearly won.
Oh, yeah, I think so. And look, it is a trial game and all that that involves. And, you know, there was players who weren't there. We'll get to Jack DeBellin very shortly. But South Sydney showed that they've got some attacking prowess. I don't think anyone thought that wasn't the case. Greg Inglis to come back onto the field. Corey Allen announces himself. Well, not really. He's played on the left wing and he's got tries. Like Robert Jennings did that for fun last year.
Yeah.
So if there's a good gig in rugby league, it's playing on the left wing for South Sydney. So I don't know whether we get too carried away by that. But a good hit out for both sides. Some of the other results are interesting. Eels 20-0 over the Panthers. Panthers rocked by their own sex tape scandal. Interesting the timing of it, just as the NRL handed down a number of findings. You mentioned the Rabbitohs over the Dragons, the Sharks 30-6 over the Knights, Broncos 25, Titans 22, Cowboys 14, Storm 6, Seagulls 38, Roosters 20, and earlier the Warriors 26, the Tigers 16 across the ditch. So they're the trial results, the last trials before going into the NRL in 2 weeks' time.
Can't wait for the footy to start because there's been a lot of distractions off the field, hasn't there? And the Jack DeBellin issue has continued to polarise opinion in rugby league circles. James, I know you have a very strong view on this issue.
Yeah, and I spoke about it on Bill and Boz on Wednesday night, and I think I'm in the minority. And I'm not discounting how difficult an issue it is, how delicate and how complex it is for everyone involved, for the Dragons, for the wider rugby league community, and those people outside rugby league who want to have their say as well. But I will say this, Jack DeBellin was charged with rape in December of 2018. He's pled not guilty to that. The NRL at that time had the right to stand him down. They had that right, but they didn't. And after widespread negative press, they then asked him to stand himself down on Wednesday. And he didn't, because he believes he's innocent. So Chairman Peter Beattie coerces 15 of the 16 chairmen to agree to the stand down, the no-fault stand down. But it is left to the discretion of the CEO, Todd Greenberg. And you expect to believe that someone who is stood down on a no-fault stand-down policy is not perceived to be guilty, whereas other players who aren't stood down are perceived to be innocent? How does it the no-fault policy make you look at a player and say that person is innocent? The hypocrisy, the double standards, and the inconsistencies are there for all to see. And in some quarters, this has been applauded as strong leadership, but you've got to be careful what you're striving to achieve, Ray. Positive press for yourself, or what is the best outcome for all constituents of rugby league?
I can see where you're coming from, James. Couple of points. The NRL had to do something, given the issue was dragging on. There was so much, as you said, negative press. Secondly, the issue with the Penrith player. Where does that leave the NRL? Where does that leave Tom Greenberg now?
It's the first chance for him to exercise his discretionary powers at the no-fault stand-down. Now, I've seen both videos of Tyrone May. Has he done anything illegal? No. Has he done anything distasteful? Yes.
Should he be punished for that?
Ask Todd.
Well,
he's got the discretionary powers.
I don't think so. If he's done something distasteful, should he be punished for that?
Well, they stood him down for the trial game last night.
Is it consensual? What you can see?
Yes.
Again, he's done nothing illegal, has he?
No. But as I said, it's distasteful. Mm. Does it again make you question NRL players' relationships with women? Yes, it does. So, Todd Greenberg made a point of issues and incidents involving women will be looked at closely. So here's a young man who's going to be decided upon by Todd Greenberg as to whether he can whether he can play or not. And it's one of the issues that Todd highlighted, and yet it's got nothing to do with the legal issue.
It is.
So what a minefield they've opened up. So
they've almost backed themselves into a corner in some respects now, haven't they?
And exactly. And to make it consistent, to be as consistent as you possibly could be, why wouldn't you just leave it a presumption of innocence until the court finds otherwise?
Exactly.
Why would you not do that? And we've had all the comments from clubs and the NRL about the impact it's having on the game and the sponsors that are walking away. And then on Thursday, amidst all of that, the NRL announces a record profit of $48 million.
I know. You and I are both on the presumption of innocence side, and yes, I haven't changed my view on that.
Can I ask you this, yeah, Ray? You said, so we're both on that side, and you said, but the NRL had to do something.
Only because this issue was not going to go away. I'm not sure what the right answer is. I don't think this is the right answer. But the alternative view, and I must admit, this is probably something we should really consider, is that our jails are full of people who have been denied bail and haven't had their day in court. There's also issues in most businesses where persons are stood down when they're on full pay.
Yes.
When they're being investigated for a serious offence. Now, in this case, I can see where the NRL, why they've made that call. They had to do something, James.
Yes.
I know what you're saying there.
So, interesting, Danny Widler writes today, he's talking about a guy by the name of Ian Byrne, who was Brett Stewart's lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, well-placed to understand what this type of...
Absolutely, yeah.
...stands
the Brett Stewart issue 10 years ago.
By the NRL to... He talks about government ministers, police, teachers, judges, etc. Their cases, they stand down when they're before the courts. Arguably, NRL players should be treated differently. Certainly, league players seem to be very frequently found not guilty after facing courts.
Mm.
It's no one size fits all. And if you try to do that, in the interests of being fair, in the interests of being consistent, then and look, all the negative press for the game, do you think the negative press is going to go away because the player's been stood down?
It's a very good point, and it won't.
Upside? Yeah. Do you think all the sponsors are going to come rushing back because the player's been stood down?
I guess the NRL had to be seen to do something. Otherwise, the sponsors would be saying, what are you doing about this issue? They had to be seen to be doing something, James.
Further education. People argue, well, they get as much education as they like. What about sanctions from the Rugby League Players Association, who are partners in the game? Internal sanctions.
Yeah.
Because you are... Look, the Dragons' greatest issue now is the welfare of Jack DeBellin. Like, seriously.
Mm.
They are really, really concerned about that. Now, as we said previously, Jack put himself in this position, but he has maintained his innocence all the way through it. Up until the point where Todd Greenberg tried to get him to stand down. He said, no, I'm innocent. Mm. I'm not going to do it. That's enormous pressure. But he stood firm. We'll have to wait and see. We'll take your thoughts on it. It's a very complex
and emotive issue.
So 1353-53. Further to who's on the program, we'll have Zorba and his thoughts on it as well. We'll have a sports update with Tanya. We'll have Phil Moss talking about the A-League and the EPL. NBL finals are on. The bloody Kings.
They bounce back today, James.
Can they bounce back? They were rubbish on Thursday. We'll speak to Brad Rosen about that.
The Perth Wildcats, seriously. But, 6 weeks ago, they were in a difficult position potentially to make the finals. Yeah, the first team through to the grand final. What a franchise they are.
Best franchise in Australian
You've
sport.
You've been saying that for a while.
Best franchise. Haven't
Most
missed successful. The semi-finals in 31 years.
Extraordinary.
Just incredible. We've got our special guest, Jack Hale. Remember last week you were bagging Jack Hale and we had the you were and we said he'd be a lovely young man to get on the program. He's fast, right? He's very fast. He's a sporting star.
He is.
We only hear about him once a year. We're going to hear about him twice a year because we're going to speak to him today as well.
He's gearing up towards the Tokyo hopefully in 2020, so we'll get on his bandwagon.
And we're also going to have Jamison Leeson on the program. Who's Jamison Leeson for our listeners, Raymond?
I've got to give Martin Cook a bit of a plug here for Men of League. He contacted me a couple of weeks ago and said there's a new rising sporting superstar out at Dunedoo. Any chance you can meet the current sporting superstar from Dunny Doo, Hugh Bowman. And her name is Jamison Leeson, as you mentioned. She's trying to make the Paralympic team for Tokyo next year.
Yes.
And after speaking to Hughie, he said if Jamison can get to track work last Thursday morning, it'd be great to meet her. And it was fantastic to see the two of them come together. Jamison's got issues that she deals with in life, but she's got the most positive attitude.
Yeah,
and
right.
It was extraordinary to be there, to meet her, to talk to her. Her mother, Amanda's a single mum, doing her very best to try and help her child achieve her dreams, which is to get to the Paralympics next year.
Mm.
Finances are an issue.
Sure.
I wrote a story on Friday. They've got a GoFundMe page. Anyway, we'll talk to Jamison later and give her a chance to talk about all that, because she's an inspiring story from a very talented young lady.
We'll put that GoFundMe page out on our social medias as well. And you're going to make a donation?
I already have.
You've already made a donation, and which puts pressure on me to make a donation, which I'll do as well.
Good on you, mate.
I'll match your donation.
You can see mine there. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well,
and
I'll do that. Yeah. Hang on. Can I up to? Just be careful. You're a very generous soul. Me, not so generous. So there we go.
Do the right thing.
And what Jamison has also done, she's inspired us with our talk topic today. The great connection was that Martin Cook recognised Dunny Doo, the home of Hughie Bowman, and the home of Jamison Leeson, the hometown. Mm-hmm. So the hometown hero. Who's your hometown hero? Who's the one that grew up on the street,
games?
On the street, or in the suburb, or in the town, or in the village? Away you go, Raymond.
Greg Alexander.
Brandy.
Yep. Played against him as a kid.
Apparently used to run rings around him. Is that right?
Sadly,
you were saying?
Sadly not. He was a superstar when he was about 10.
Yeah.
Brandy, so he was just a champion, and Penrith boy made good. So.
Penrith boy made good. Yeah, he was okay. Greg Alexander.
He
seems to be going all right now too with his.
You,
look, I think.
You're going to trump me, aren't you?
Oh, mate, it's so easy. There was a guy from Cootamundra by the name of Don.
You did. Mate. Where did you grow up? Wallenbean or something?
Yes, I grew up at Wallenbean.
How far?
But I was in the Cootamundra Shire, 26 kilometres.
Okay, all right.
So, if you wanted to go from you know, Wallenbean, well then. Okay. Well, Daryl Seeney represented the Wallenbean Tigers and the Wallenbean cricket side, so there you go. You've never heard of Daryl Seeney, have you? No. Very good local sportsman. But the point I'm making is Donald George Bradman was born at Cootamundra, moved age 2 to Bowral, and then went on and had some sort of a cricket career.
The only good thing for our listeners is that you can't win the prize. It's pretty hard to beat, though.
Very hard to beat. Yeah. Donald George Bradman. So your hometown hero on the back of Jamison Leeson being the girl from Dunny Doo. The girl from Dunny Doo. We'll take a break now. After the break, we'll come back with our race replays. We'll come back with all your thoughts on what we've had to discuss thus far and anything else we may have missed out. Oh, by the way, India have won on the back of MS Dhoni. Well, he's a
too
freak
good.
In that one day over there. Just not enough runs from the Aussies. They all got starts except Aaron Finch, and that's a concern.
See that, how he got out?
Yeah.
Oh, a little feather off the glove.
Yeah. He's a player under pressure. 1353 53, the open line number. It's 23 minutes past 7. Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Sky Sports Radio has your perfect start to a winning day. Racing HQ is the complete package of all the day's vital racing information.
She'll get a lovely run just in behind the speed.
She's got a win in her very soon.
From 10, we'll preview the major New South Wales meet. And you'll hear from all the newsmakers, trainers, jockeys and owners. Racing HQ is required listening every morning on Sky Sports Radio.
So, who are you backing in the next?
Well, I like this one at the distance, but...
TAB's got you covered for the country and provincial championship qualifiers. Place a fixed odds win bet on any qualifier this weekend, and if your horse runs second or third, get a bonus bet back up to $50.
We're on here, boys. Lock it in.
So, who are you backing? TAB. Download the app today. Excludes SA and WA residents. TAB account bets only. T's and C's at tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
The Australian Easter Yearling Sale is the number one sale for Group 1 winners in Australia. Graduates in the past season won the Golden Slipper, Caulfield Guineas and Royal Ascot's Diamond Jubilee amongst many other of the world's top races. Give yourself the best chance of success at the elite level. The Australian Easter Yearling Sale, April 9 and 10 at Riverside Stables, Sydney. Catalogue out now. Go to inglis.com.au.
Spring training Charlie in front, 100 metres left to go. Safado runs to second, gunning out after him now. They hit the line, Safado. Safado, first horse into the final, has beaten Spring Charlie. It's a Kim Waugh Quinella.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yes, and a couple of contributions already, James, for your talk topic. Inspiring stuff from you, James. This comes from Gibbo from Bathurst, hometown hero, Kurt Fernley.
Oh, gee, that's hard to beat. Early doors, isn't it?
Writing that one down.
No.
And actually, a gentleman called Carcor chimed in. Kurt Fernley, sporting hero from Carcor.
Carcor.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is like everyone's claiming it.
Wallumbean and
Peter Munch. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. There you go. Mardi Gras, Winx, a gay icon. Well, she did go home on a float, funny enough. That comes in from Priscilla. That's very good. Thank you, Priscilla. I really think that's probably Master Monkey or anything. We'll have to check the numbers.
It's sort of his take on life,
isn't it? Isn't exactly. It? Yeah. Thank you, Priscilla.
Race replay time?
Absolutely.
Your favourite part of the show? Couple of important Golden Sipper trials. Yes, so I thought we saw two-year-olds who could certainly measure up. Here's the Skyline Stakes. Godolphin again. Microphone.
And Park getting to work on Casco Vecchio, still a long last as they swing up the rise. Fiery Red, two lengths clear. Now Microphone being popped. The question on the outside of Cosmic Force. Then came Exertion. Forget about Casco Vecchio. But Microphone stormed to the front and kicked away from Cosmic Force. Exertion can't do too much more. But Microphone test 1-2 off to the slipper for you. Microphone won it by a length and a half, Cosmic Force. Boy, Casco Vecchio really got going at the end. He got
There you go, test 1-2. Very good, Darren. Now, to sort, $4.50, Golden Slipper. Accelerates, $8. Microphone, $9. Oh, now we've finally got a non-Godolphin horse in there. Time to Rain at $9 as well.
And then throw in Liar at $11, Anthony Freeman for Godolphin. So they've got four of the top five.
And just on that, yes, 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 is at $15. We've had an SMS about that too. From one of our listeners too, Ray.
Just be careful how you read that one out too, yeah.
Which one? Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Hey, Jimmy, what about the trial of yes, yes, yes? City Ford says yes more often last Monday at Canberra. What a trial it
Very
was.
Good
That's
trial.
From Herb. Thank you, Herb.
It was a good trial. Yes. We'll see him next week in the Todman Stakes. On to the Sweden Brace Stakes for the fillies. Team Snowden. You can never discount them with two-year-olds. Anna Heed bounces back to her best, right back into the Golden Slipper.
To the straight now, and Anna Heed in the blue cap moves up on the outside of Kiyomichi. Then came Let It Pour. Super Oasis in a pocket, looking to work into the clear, does so now. Emeralds under the stick, and further back to Jocelyn, but it's Anna Heed taking the lead now from Kiyomichi, still single with a final shot. Two lengths down though, it's Anna Heed in front in the sweet embrace, and Anna Heed. Anna Heed ran out a bit, but Anna Heed will go on and beat still single. Photo third, Let It Pour and Kiyomichi.
So there you go. They're doing good jobs with two-year-olds. I'm looking forward to what they do with some three-year-olds. Anna Heed.
Where is King's Trust? He's back in work.
I don't know where that horse is.
They're losing faith already.
$26, Anna Heed, in the Golden Slipper.
The great Bart Cummings said, with one commodity in racing that people don't take much truck in, patience.
Patience.
You've got to be patience, James. Got to have patience.
All right.
But come good. Okay, here we go. She is, talk about coming good. She's been okay for about 4 years now. Her name is Winx. We all know her. Let's listen to Darren Flindell's call, the Chipping Norton Stakes.
This has got the crowd on the edge of their seats. Happy Clappers, five in front to Egg Tart. Now, Bowman just starting to feel for Winx coming around the turn. He doesn't want to get too far away. Happy Clapper comes up the rise, four lengths clear. But Winx, she's really starting to hit top gear now. Two lengths away, Happy Clapper under the whip, two in front. Bowman says, come on, girl. Winx moves up on the outside of Happy Clapper. It's a race today, but no longer. She starts to draw clear for a world record of 23 Group 1s. Winx by two lengths to Happy Clapper. He made it exciting. Unforgotten third.
Diddy White, and we're going to speak to Blake Shin a little bit later on in the program. If we look to the second to last, the penultimate race of Winx, it'll be the George Ryder Stakes. That's in 3 weeks' time, so $1.10. Who's the punter, Ray?
There's a couple of them, actually.
Well, who's the punter you keep talking about in the... I've read your articles over the last couple of days, and I think I read a tweet yesterday, was it, that he waits, or she, waits till race day, tries to get the best, and then just plunges whatever he's won previously.
He was up to $239,000 and $1.09 yesterday was his bet. But just moments before the jump. This is that was the Winx punter who's back to virtually every start for the last 2 years.
Yes.
But there's another major player involved, and Tab Fixed Odds yesterday took their biggest ever single bet on a horse race yesterday, $280,000 at $1.08 on the Great Mare.
And she saluted. So what did he get for that? About $20,000.
Yeah. Money for Jim, I suppose. Better than bank interest, isn't it?
Yeah.
She's remarkable.
I don't know what you did yesterday, but $20,000.
Well, George Ryder next. That'll be her last run at a home track, Rose Hill, by the way, as well. So that's significant. They're going to build a statue for her next year at Rose Hill.
Are they?
Yes. So that'll be her last run at Rose Hill and George Ryder. And then the QE Stakes on April 13 at Randwick.
Elise, $11. Autumn Sun Doubtful at $8. Happy Clapper keeps lining up. $15. Kamentari, $15.
The problem with Elise and Happy Clapper, they got a backup from Flemington, the All-Star Mile, a week before, which is unlikely. So either way, Winx potentially goes on her winning way in the George Ryder. Great to see you yesterday. Hopefully, we get Golden Sipper Day.
No.
Winx, Golden Sipper, Jimmy Barnes.
No.
Oh.
Work.
That doesn't sell it to you? The other Group 1 yesterday is Surround Stakes, and Nikita Jane, wide, tough run, still won.
Fundamentalist and Missy head and head around the corner from Madame Rouge, who puts herself into the picture. Semi right behind from Graceful Glamour. Further back then to Going Between Runners. At this point is the Latte down to the 250. Fundamentalist in front from Missy. Now El Dorado Dreaming's getting a split, and Nikita Jane the outside. She's surging now. Fundamentalist just in front of Missy. Nikita Jane and El Dorado Dreaming. Four of the minute. Wide out Nikita Jane going to Fundamentalist. Oh, no. Not sure. Fundamentalist kept kicking on the fence, and Nikita Jane, they're the two. Eldorado.
Will she run next week? We'll ask Mark Noonan very shortly. Autumn Sun, $1.60 for the Randwick Guineas. Nikita Jane, $6. $6. Vega Days is $11.
Yeah, she was good, wasn't she, Nikita Jane? On to the Australian Guineas at Flemington, the Tasmanian filly, Mystic Journey. She's very good.
Hawkshot in front of the inevitable at the 350. Mystic Journey runs on with Amphitrite presenting down the outside. Then Dealmaker, Longleaf and Ring-a-Ding-Ding. Hawkshot at the 250. Mystic Journey getting up underneath of it. It's Hawkshot grabbed by Mystic Journey. Followed by Amphitrite, Ring-a-Ding-Ding late. Mystic Journey with 100 to go races away. They're roaring in Tasmania. And Mystic Journey won the Guineas easily. Hawkshot second, Photo third.
Elise is now a $3 favourite for the All-Star Mile. Mystic Journey, we just heard the win there, $4.60 second favourite. Happy Clapper, which is a wild card into there, at $5. They really didn't... I was talking yesterday to one of the baseball dads who loves his racing. They really didn't think through that concept, did they?
It doesn't quite work. We'll have to tweak it for next
maybe
year.
Maybe next year, VRC.
Exactly. Okay, we'll move on, James. Miracle Mile last night at Menangle.
Yes.
The Fixer versus Tiger Tara? Not quite. Spank him. Too good.
Here comes the Tiger, roaring around the outside. Tiger Tara goes up three wide. Then Yaya's Hotspot, followed by Poster Boy, desperately needing racing room. And Chase Auckland peels to the outside, 27 to the quarter. And Spankham tries to kick away. The Fixer's away from the inside to give chase. So too Poster Boy. It's too big a task for Tiger Tara. On the inside at Spankham, inch by inch, the Fixer's cutting back the margin. Spankham's lifting. Spankham on the inside. It's an All-Stars, Quinella and Spankham beats the Fixer, Poster Boy and Chase Auckland down the outside.
Oh, the upset. Yeah. It's a great call, Freddie Hastings. Didn't he do a fantastic
job? A great
big
man, Freddie.
Big night out there too at Tabcorp Park, Menangle. And if you went out there, give us a call and let us know how it was. But that's a great win for Spankham. 13-53-53 is the open line number. We've got so many town. No. Mystic Journey on a way to superstardom. That comes in from Eagle-Eyed Phil. Ray, did Hugh Bowman use the whip at any time during yesterday's race on Winx?
No,
that was Paramat.
Just sort of shook her up a little bit, bit of elbows, bit of hands and heels, let her cruise up, and he didn't put on undue pressure at all, did he, James?
No, not at all. The great Laurie Daly from his hometown, Junie, that's Davo, that's a good nomination. Hometown hero, country boy made good, West Wylong prop Ron Crowe. Test appearances in the 60s. Ronnie Crowe, what a legend. I think it's Ron Crowe Oval out there at West Wylong now. Been there, done that. Had an oval named in his honour. There you go. Well played, Ron. That's Michelle from Dubbo via West Wylong.
There we go.
Let's go to the open line now. We've got callers there, Raymond, 1353-53. Gary's on the line. G'day, Gary.
How are you, Jim, and how are you going?
Good.
Really well, mate. What do you got for us, Gaz?
I live at Toongabby.
Yeah.
I go all the time to the races to watch Winks race and Roseville, wherever. And we go to Hawkesbury sometimes. I don't work. Really good day out.
Fantastic.
I'm from Toongabby on a train, to Central on the bus to, from Coogee bus to the races.
You were there yesterday, were you, Gary?
Okay.
Were you there yesterday?
Sure was.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's just going as well as ever, isn't she, Winks?
Yeah, really good. No, it's a really good day out. No, it's a bit of a journey, but I enjoy it.
And you got two to go, Gaz.
Yep, I'll be there.
Yeah, good fantastic. All right, a couple of weeks' time, we've got George Ryder, and then 3 weeks after that, the Queen Elizabeth.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
March 23, April 13.
There we go. Good on you, Gaz. Appreciate that. 1353-53. Mick's on the line. G'day, Mick.
Yeah, g'day, Jimmy. How are you, mate?
Really well.
Mate, just on the Jack DeBellum issue, to me, the Dragon should have got on the front foot and stood Jack down, because basically he's brought the club into disrepute, regardless of whether he's played up on his 20-week pregnant partner or not, and he's in front of the courts and that. You know, like, you really can't promote him around our schools. You can't promote him to sponsors.
Mm.
You know, it just makes a very difficult position for the club. Mm. And, you know, to me, I would have got on the front foot and stood him down. I don't know what you think, but...
And Mick, this is where it's really interesting. So those people within the club who look Jack in the eye and say, you know, do you believe...
And he declares his innocence.
And he says, I'm pleading not guilty because I'm innocent of these charges. And they say, right, well, we back the player. And that's happened all throughout sporting
and his teammates want to back the player too, won't they?
Exactly. And the other thing, having spoken to Dragons insiders... And this is not, and again, we stress it every time we talk about it, we are not discounting what's the thoughts and outcomes that lie in front for the alleged victim.
Mm.
But they are very, very concerned about the welfare of Jack DeBellum.
Exactly. So at the very least, he would be hoping that his teammates and his club would support him. And that's the case at the
moment. That's right.
And you can understand that. And as you said, we're not in any way diminishing the young lady's allegations.
So Peter Beattie convinces 15 of the 16 chairmen that they should be stood down. It's pretty easy to work out who was the chairman who said he shouldn't be stood down.
Correct.
1353-53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
Join myself and Lars from 5:30. Look forward to it. The good and the bad from the NRL trials over the weekend. The Mighty Mayor Winks and all the drama that goes along with that. Plus, the Aussies against India in the world of one-day cricket.
Tricolours invites you to their 2019 yearling launch on Thursday, March 7 at the Republic Hotel from 6 p.m. Join host Joel Kane and special guests Joe Pride, John Sargent and Rick Connolly for an insightful and entertaining evening you can't afford to miss. Shares will be available to purchase in our 2019 yearlings by leading stallions including All Too Hard, Smart Missile and Zoostar. Is 2019 the year you take the plunge? Places are strictly limited, so RSVP today. Visit tricolours.com.au. AFSL 336964.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life? If this sounds like you, then you should give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about combining your unsecured debts into just one weekly repayment tailored to your budget. That's a solution working for you. Focus on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1300 107 155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
And here is a champion. Cracksman wins the champion in fantastic soil.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Hayden Parker says, we win in New Zealand. Sunwolves 30. Chiefs 15. History. History for the team from Japan. Claim a New Zealand scalp on New Zealand soil.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, isn't it a worry? Really concerned about the strength of New Zealand rugby on the eve of a Rugby World Cup. The Sunwolves having a win over there. Time now for the feature racing interview, Raymond. It's brought to you by China. You ever been to China at all?
We were there last Sunday.
Oh, that's
How
right.
How good was it?
The food is absolutely outstanding. What about the pork?
What about the beer?
Can't remember them. The award-winning restaurant located at the historic Finger Wharf at Woolloomooloo takes creative dining in Sydney to another level.
It certainly does. I tell you, I went to another level yesterday, and that's Nikita Jain.
Oh, nice segue.
And trainer Mark Newnham is on the line to join us. And Mark, good morning. Congratulations on the Group 1 win. But she's some filly that she had a torrid run yesterday, but her will to win, Mark.
Yeah, morning Ray, morning Jim. Look, that was the freakish part about it. Mm. You know, she wasn't entitled to win yesterday, but got the job done.
You take Josh out the back and have a little chat about it. I don't know. Well, I'm sure it wasn't your plans, Mark, but it's amazing how those races can play out the way they do, and you rely on those fighting qualities and the brilliance of the horse to get you home, which is what you had to do yesterday.
Yeah, exactly that. But look, you know, the only thing I spoke to Josh about before the race was getting her into the clear. Mm. And she's a big filly with a really big action. Mm. And, oh, look, three wide with cover was probably a good spot for her.
Okay.
But when she got speared off on the corner, you know, it probably cost her two or three lengths. And it at that stage, it probably looked like the race was gone.
Mm.
But, oh, look, she's got a great will to win and great ability to back it up. You know, in the five starts she's had, the couple of times she's been beaten, in total she's probably been beaten, you know, probably a long head.
Mm.
First start in a race she got beaten a short half head, did a lot wrong, and then in the flight stakes it was a short half head by short half head. So, she's pretty determined filly.
That's for sure. The freakish thing about her, Mark, despite the fact that yesterday's win was freakish, she's only had the five starts. She's now a Group 1 winner at 1,400 metres. Yet everything she does, her breeding, her racing pattern, her confirmation suggests she's only going to get better and better once she gets out to a middle trip.
Yeah, well, look, you would think so and hope so. Oh, look, till you get out there, you really never know. Yeah. But, look, I've got no doubts about her, you know, especially at 2,000. But she's very stoutly bred on both sides of her pedigree. And, you know, her confirmation and attitude will take her a long way to running a trip.
Mm. Ramwick Guineas?
Good possibility. She pulled up well. You know, the fillies have been very good all the way through this generation of fillies, so it won't, you know, if she goes there, it'll be because she's in, you know, the best possible order she can be, and if she doesn't go there, it won't be because we're avoiding anyone, it'd just be that she needs the extra week to get over it, that's all.
Okay, so she's pulled up well, she's got to be in the best possible condition to go forward, so what are the, you know, how long before you make a decision on that, Mark? Who do you talk to before making that decision or as you're making that decision?
Oh, I'll wait till Wednesday morning,
right,
acceptance time. You know, she's she only left a little bit of feed last night. She'll have a can around tomorrow. You know, we'll just follow her normal routine up until Wednesday, maybe take a blood. So, you know, just the normal indicators, her body weight, you know, those sorts of things. But look, at this stage, she looks to have pulled up very well.
Well, she's the stable star at the moment, Mark, but you've got some real talent amongst the three-year-old fillies ranks in your stable. I know Maid of Heaven has been retired, but Graceful Glamour yesterday, second up, 1,400 metres too short. She's on the Oaks path. And during the week, Scarlet Dream, her return at Rose Hill, although beaten, gee, you must have left Rose Hill a happy man.
Well, almost happy.
Almost won, yeah.
Look, I don't take defeat well. But, look, in those circumstances, you know, I didn't expect to win that race. Mm. And Rose Hill, 8-metre rail, and having to come from where she would be in the run, it looked an impossible task before the day started. And she almost did the impossible. So, look, she's a very promising staying filly, very dour. She's certainly one that won't have any trouble once we get to 2,000 and beyond. So she'll go to the Kembla Classic, the same as Graceful Glamour, and then she'll either go to the Adrian Knox after that or go to the Vinery. It just depends on how things go at Kembla. But, oh, look, it's nice to have a bit of firepower, you know, in these type of races. And you know, it's one thing I try and keep reminding myself that it's been, you know, less than 3 years, and, you know, we had two Group 1 runners in a race yesterday, so it's come together pretty quickly.
How easy is this training, Caper? Fair income, Mark.
Oh, well, look, it's, you know, if you like working 7 days a week and 24 hours a day, it's very easy.
It's a great job.
Hang on, last time I saw you, you were swanning your way into a Swiss restaurant up there on the Gold Coast after spending up big at the Magic Millions. You know,
that's all work, Jim.
Hey, Mark, after working with this man for nearly 10 years, he's got a memory like an elephant. He forgets nothing, Mark.
Well, he was there also.
Exactly. There you go.
Hey, but I wasn't working. I know that. Hey, Mark,
you were networking.
I was hearing during the week, I was listening to you being interviewed, and you've got boxes at Warwick Farm and at Randwick, and I guess that presents a bit of a logistical challenge for you.
Oh, look, it does. But look, I've got very good staff, and that makes a big difference. Nikita Jane's one of the Warwick Farm team, and I've got a young man out there, James Ponsonby, who runs Warwick Farm for me.
Right.
He does a really good job, as do the crew in Randwick. So, you know, and it's an even spread of horses. You know, a lot of people tend to think, oh, well, do you use one, you know, do you use Warwick Farm for pre-training, or do you have your best horses, you know, at Randwick or Warwick Farm? And, look, it's just an even spread. And some horses are better suited at Warwick Farm. It's a little bit quieter environment. And also staff-wise, if you structure it that way, that you don't share the good horses out, well, there's no incentive then for, you know, that group of staff to, you know, have an interest and have an active role in, you know, in the horses and their preparation and the results.
You're doing, Mark, definitely. It's certainly working, yeah. And yes. Look, Mark, we'll wait for Wednesday to see if you do decide to take on the Autumn Sun with Nikita Jane. But either way, she's going to be a star this autumn. Congratulations on yesterday's Group 1, and thanks for joining us this morning, Mark.
No, any time, fellas. Thank you.
Mark Newnham there. Outstanding win. Everyone's excited about Nikita Jane. We'll wait till Wednesday morning and see whether he does from an acceptances point of view. He was our China Doll feature interview today. And if you are going to China Doll, Mark, working, obviously, we recommend the pork. 1353-53, the open line number. Just before we go, Ray, our talk topic for today. This one comes in. Morning, boys. Hometown heroes. Beverly Whitfield won an Olympic gold medal in the 200 metres breaststroke in 1972 as an underdog. Do you remember that?
I do, yeah. Shane Gould's obviously dominated the Olympics, but Beverly Whitfield won a gold as well there.
And Ron Costello, both from Shell Harbour.
There you go.
That's from Yankee.
And hi, boys. Hometown heroes in Wollongong were the Mercer brothers.
Yes.
When the Nutrigrain Ironman series was big news.
Absolutely.
Regards to Snob. Good morning, Snob.
Morning, Snob. 1353-53, the open line number. We'll take a break. Oh, just before
Real
we get to
one.
That.
Yeah.
Hometown hero.
Yep, Wayne Harris from Musselbrook. That's from Fred from Musselbrook. I know Wayne hasn't had the best of health lately, so, mate, a little cheerio out to you, Wayne. Hope you're feeling well, mate.
Absolutely. Last time I saw Wayne was up at Musselbrook at the
good
races.
Man.
Yeah,
great man. Yeah.
1353-53, a break, and then back with Blake Shin.
Thursday mornings on Sky Sports Radio.
Looking forward to a chinwag today, as always.
Chinwag with Cossie brings you in-depth chats with racing stars past and present.
Delighted to have a chat with you.
Hear what makes our racing personalities tick. Thursday mornings from 10:30 on Sky Sports Radio.
So, who are you backing in the next?
Well, I like this one at the distance, but...
TAB's got you covered for the country and provincial championship qualifiers. Place a fixed odds win bet on any qualifier this weekend, and if your horse runs second or third, get a bonus bet back up to $50.
We're on here, boys. Lock it in.
So, who are you backing? TAB. Download the app today. Excludes SA and WA residents. TAB account best only. T's and C's at tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
Entries for the 2019 English Australian Broodmare and Weanling Sale close Friday, March 8th. The best place to sell quality bloodstock. English Riverside Stables, Sydney. Go to English.com.au.
Hit the lead. Noble Boy starting to stoke up and Bocelli coming through. It's Elmahaha from Bocelli. Elmahaha just in front of Bocelli and Elmahaha beat Bocelli. It's a Tasburley Quinella.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. And, well, Winks did win yesterday, but it was a fair dinkum horse race. And Blake Shin's ride on Happy Clapper, just outstanding. He nearly stole the Group 1. He had a big day in his own right, Blake, with three winners. And he's been good enough to join us this morning. Blake, good morning. And, well, firstly, congratulations on the treble, but in particular the ride on Happy Clapper. You made that a horse race yesterday.
Yeah, good morning, Ray, Jimmy. Yeah, it was. Would have been a great race for the spectators watching and the people who went there to see Winks and Happy Clapper. He went down fighting. He's a real warrior, which I know he is. I knew he'd give Winks a good test yesterday, and we made it a test and come out second best. But in my eyes, he's a winner. He's always a winner, Happy Clapper, when I ride him. He's a superstar.
Blake, can you take us inside the discussions between you and Pat Webster and talking about the way, because a lot of people were saying, okay, no natural leader in this race, maybe Clapper will lead, that's exactly what you do, you put the pressure on the great mare. Give us an understanding of how that played out between you and Pat.
Look, we spoke, I went to Warren on Thursday and we had a little chat then about sort of the race, and Pat said, you'll lead, won't you? And I went, yeah, I'll lead, and which I thought I would. But it was just a matter of working out the right tempo. I didn't want it to be just like a barrier trial speed. You know, we're in a race, and we wanted to get some benefit out of it, especially if he's going to the All-Star Mile. So I was thinking, how am I going to rate him, and what's the best way? I wasn't sure what Chris Waller's other runners were going to do, and that was something in the back of my mind, whether I was going to get applied pressure in the early stages. But in the first, say, 350 metres for a Group 1 mile race, we went basically pedestrian speed, and my horse was very relaxed. And then I said to Pat, if we have it cheap for the first 600-700, then we'll ramp it up. And that's what we did. We made it a good race. Happy Clapper ran his heart out. Winks, she was just too good, like she always is.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Blake, did a little part of you think at the top of the straight, hang on, I might be about to cause an upset here because the Clapper was flying?
Well, actually, it might have been about 1100. I actually spoke to him. I said, mate, we're gonna give this a shake, just because I knew how easy he was going for me in that first 450. So I had a little whisper and said, we're going to give this a shake. And then when I picked it up from 1,000, I'm like, oh, mate. And he was always there for me. And I knew that she'd be coming. And did I think I was going to win around the turn? I didn't really, to be honest, because I knew I've got so much respect and admiration for Winks, but she was gonna have to run to her best to beat me, that's for sure.
Did Clapper say anything back to you at any point, Blake?
He just picked a bit up and
wanted to go.
Fair enough.
He's just so honest and tough. He's like a war horse, you know. If you knock him down seven times, he'll get back up eight, and that's just him. He's just a superstar. I'm sure he'll come through that run okay, and we'll go to the All-Star Mile with a lot of confidence now. It's going to be a great race there.
But Blake, you told me last night you took the Clapper back out, coming back in just in front of the fans, and they gave him recognition for his effort, and that meant a lot to you.
It did. That was very, very touching. You know, I've never experienced something like that before. And as a sporting, tragic and watching, great athletes and teams play each other, you know, it's nice for the horse racing participants to recognise a horse like Happy Clapper and the job that he did yesterday. And, you know, they came out to see a horse race, they came out to see the champion, and we certainly put on a horse race.
Yeah,
it was just really touching to for Happy Clapper to get that recognition and for people to realise what an amazing horse he is.
Yeah, amazing horse. And I think people appreciate the fact that Pat doesn't avoid winks.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of other horses do avoid winks, and that's never been the case with Pat. What about some of the other wins you had?
Dreamforce
was outstanding for John Thompson. Just wore down You Make Me Smile. Tough performance, Blake.
It was very tough, Jimmy. That race from start to finish. There was a slight theory on Dreamforce carrying 59.5 and that You Make Me Smile with 53. But when I began so well, I made the decision to just apply a little bit of pressure on You Make Me Smile. It's a hard going horse. So I didn't want it going too softly in front and getting things his own way. I wanted to dictate the race. And Dreamforce really he settled well. I was so confident even before the race, but how the race unfolded, I was even more confident that the leader wasn't able to get away from me like it has done in the past couple.
Mm.
And I was on top of it very early, probably a bit too early, but full credit to the horse. He is a quality horse. And he's 10th win now, Dreamforce.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really good on his horse heading towards the Doncaster. And, you know, he's certainly going to be competitive.
Yeah, absolutely. Blake, look, fantastic day for you yesterday. You also won on Harms and Goathland. And look, but you certainly made a lot of people who went out to Randwick yesterday, they won't forget that Shipping Norton Stakes and Happy Clap as well. Congratulations, mate, and we hope we're talking to you again through the Autumn Carnival.
Let's hope so. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Blake.
Blake Shin there, always good with his time with this program. 27th of January we spoke to him. It was his first, it was a Sunday after his first rides back. He had a couple of winners, and he's very quickly restated himself within the course of a month, one of the premier jockeys. Yeah.
Great ride on Harms for Colt Prosser. Colt Prosser's the owner and trainer. That horse, the strapper, did everything, the poor guy, but that was Colt's first Tab Highway win. Congratulations, Colt Hopper, Prosser, and Kim Wall with Goathland. Tremendous training effort. First up at 2,000. Gets the job done for Blake Shin.
We've spoken to Kim about Goathland previously, haven't we? And just on Colt Prosser, great quotes in your article today in the Punter, the lift out of the Sunday Telegraph. Yeah, it's great to be here for the win for Winks. Oh, I can't stick around and watch
poor
it, though.
He's going to get the Armadale Cup today, so there must be a tip and two at the Armadale Cup. We might have to give him a call in the news break and ask him.
Absolutely. What he's got. We like that. You need it, too, your help on a Sunday. 1353.53. Well, hang on. There we were at lunch at Chinatown on Sunday.
We were
all over. Oh, hang on. Vin Cox has gone to Tasmania. It's just a matter of him getting down there to pick the trophy up. Here's the kiddie funds. Let's go for it. And ill-gotten gains, they were left.
Karma.
So nice to say, Ray. Hometown here, I'd like to mention Jeff Fenwick from Merrifield. Let's not forget the Beatles from Liverpool, England. Okay.
I like it.
Now we've got your favourite musician. Let's go to the open line just before we get our scratchings around New South Wales with Tanya. We've got Daryl on the line there. G'day, Daryl.
How you going, brother?
Really well, mate. What do you got for us?
Jimmy and Ray. Oh. Thinking about all these footballers playing up off the field, mate.
Yep.
Maybe the league should be trying to make, you know, how the jockeys used to years ago, they'd keep a certain amount of their money back and give it to them when they come out of their apprenticeships. If they can have a trust, sort of, that they put money into, if they play up, they lose a percentage of that money. The worst thing they've got on their hands is time and money, mate, and they don't seem to manage it well.
That's a whole lot of issues wrapped into one there. Do we agree with the holding money back? I think we misrepresent how much certain players earn. We've got to remember that the base wage is, well, it's going to go up. It's up to $100,000. So it's not, if you're living in Sydney on $100,000, that's, you haven't got a lot of spare cash. You might have a lot of spare time, relatively. And I think the fact that if you can engage people more throughout the week rather than just that training, I think that's a key. They do it through the under-20s. They need to try and perhaps extend that to the NRL squad. It's an interesting point that you make, Darryl.
It's got merit. The only problem with it, though, is that overseas, Super League, et cetera, could say, well, we don't have to take any. You can keep your whole money. Come and play with us. And
rugby union could do the same. Exactly.
Thing,
so. I know in the United States that they have their situation there because so many players over there who earn enormous amounts of money and actually lose it.
Yeah.
And that's on record, that they actually try to change the way they pay them. But we're talking millions and millions of dollars, so that's a different scenario. But
higher education again, isn't it, Chief?
Again. There's a lot goes down to that. Thank you for the call, Daryl. Now, time to get the scratchings around New South Wales. We say good morning for the first time to Tan.
Morning, boys. Morning, everyone. A massive weekend. continues in Mudgee with the Country Championships qualifier today. We also have racing at Armidale. So let's start with Mudgee, where the weather is fine, the track are good for the rail is true, and there are 12 scratchings. Race 1, take out number 9, The Truck, number 9. Race 2, number 11, Maliko, number 11. Out of race 3, number 4, Sonic Girl, number 4. Race 4, number 1, Kenneth. 2, The Exchequer. 3, A Corrupt Pick. 9, See For Yourself. And 18, Platina. 1, 2, 3, 9 and 18. Race 5, take out 12, Future Road, number 12. Race 6 is Clear. Race 7, take out 6, Elmo. And 9, Kookaburra, 6 and 9. And race 8, number 6, Blue Collar Boy, number 6 from race 8 at Mudgee. Armidale, the weather is fine, the track are good 3, the rail is true, and there are 12 scratchings also. Race 1, take out 2, Cassie's Sister, and 4, Shade Asmar, 2 and 4. Race 2, number 3, Untamed Dragon, 10, Bella's Choice, and 11, Brownie Points, 3, 10 and 11. Race 3, number 11, Our Anna Maria, number 11. Race 4 is Clear. Race 5, take out 6, On Your Rosie, number 6 from the 5th. Race 6, number 1, Dylan's Luck, and 10, Victory Vibes, 1 and 10. Race 7 is Clear. And race 8, number 2, Bon Allen, 11, Mon Petite Filly, and 13, Just a Dame. 2, 11 and 13 from race 8 at Armidale. Raymond.
Thanks. 10 tips today. Race 2, number 1, Christo. I know it's going up against an odds-on favourite, Potent Force, but I think Christo can run a big race. Race 2, number 1, Christo. Into race 4, number 8, Philadora at Mudgee. In the Country Championships qualifier, Hugh Bowman's on the top weight, Orion Fire. Looks hard to beat race 7, number 1, Orion Fire. Over to Armidale today. Race 5, number 3, Nisselroy. Into race 6, number 5, She's Choosy.
That's the Oriental Hotel at Mudgee that apparently they rang up and said that the Ori's on fire. And they went, oh, that'd be a good name for a horse.
There you go.
That's how it came about. Yeah, 1353-53, the open line number. We'll take a break. News coming up next. And then after that, we'll have a full lineup. Zorba, Debbie Kapitas, Event Cinema's Quiz, and NBL, a look at that with Brad Rosen. And a first question in the China Doll Quiz.
A total fire ban is in place across Victoria, with firefighters and emergency services working throughout the night to contain 4 bushfires. An evacuation order has been issued for Labatouche North. The blaze is expected to affect the area today, with authorities advising residents to prepare to evacuate. These residents told the ABC the fire's advance has already caused them to leave.
When there's a fire going already, it's just a matter of wind changes where we are. There's so much bush there. So we made the decision about 8 o'clock to load up 3 horses, just wait the day out.
Oh, it's pretty bad. Yeah, everyone sort of be concerned. Yeah, it's just got worse and worse and the wind's picked up. So everyone sort of got evacuated just to be safe, I suppose. Yeah, it's no good sitting here not wondering whether your house is still there, I suppose.
Hot temperatures are expected again across the state today, with the ban in place until midnight. And in WA, a bushfire watch and act warning remains in place for Howick, Beaulieu and Cape Arid in the Shire of Esperance. Former Foreign Minister Julie Bishop has opened up about her leadership ambitions last year and claims Christopher Pyne was the reason why she failed. Speaking to WA's The Sunday Times, Ms Bishop, who will quit politics at the federal election, also said the coalition would be in a winning position if her colleagues had picked her to lead the Liberal Party. She says she believed she had the support of at least 28 colleagues, more than Scott Morrison, before going into the party room last August, only to be knocked out in the first round of voting. She got just 11 votes, which saw her knocked out in the first round of voting. Eventually, Morrison defeated Peter Dutton 45 votes to 40. The body of a man who went missing while swimming in the Murray River has been found. The 26-year-old Malaysian national entered the river with 2 others from a caravan park at Mildura on Friday night, but got into difficulty in the water and didn't resurface. Victorian police divers located a body believed to be that of the missing man just before 5:30 yesterday afternoon. He is yet to be formally identified. America's newest capsule for astronauts is rocketing towards the International Space Station on a high-stakes test flight by SpaceX. The only passenger is a life-size test dummy named Ripley after the lead character in the Alien movies. SpaceX needs to nail the debut of its Crew Dragon capsule before putting people on board later this year. SpaceX founder and chief executive Elon Musk says the launch was super stressful to watch, but he's hopeful the capsule will be ready to carry people later this year.
I really believe in the future of space, and I think it's important that we become a space-faring civilization and be out there among the stars. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, makes people excited about the future. And we want the things that are in science fiction novels and movies not to be science fiction forever. We want them to be real one day.
An estimated 5,000 NASA and contractor employees, tourists and journalists gathered in the wee hours at Kennedy Space Center with the SpaceX launch team as the Falcon 9 rocket blasted off before dawn yesterday from the same spot where Apollo moon rockets and space shuttles once soared. Across the country at SpaceX Mission Control in Hawthorne, California, company employees went wild, cheering every step of the way until the capsule successfully reached orbit. This is Air News. Manchester City has moved back to the top of the English Premier League after a 1-0 win at Bournemouth yesterday. Riyad Mahrez scored the only goal of the game 10 minutes into the second half to put City 2 points ahead of Liverpool, who play at Everton today. Tottenham remained third after a 1-1 draw with Arsenal, while Manchester United moved above the Gunners into fourth after they beat Southampton 3-2. City struggled to break down Bournemouth in the first half and lost Kevin De Bruyne to injury just before half-time. Mahrez replaced the Belgian and squeezed in the crucial goal 10 minutes into the second half to put the pressure back on Liverpool. Tottenham stayed 4 points clear of Arsenal as they drew 1-1 in the North London derby, although Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang missed a late penalty for Arsenal in injury time. In the NRL, Wayne Bennett has called out Sam Burgess for his ill-discipline, accusing the English star of trying too hard in South Sydney's NRL trial win over St George Illawarra. Not for the first time in his career, Burgess was given a public dressing down by Bennett for his penchant for giving away penalties. The master coach didn't mince his words when asked about Burgess's high tackle on the Dragons' Jordan Pereira in the Rabbitohs' 36-24 Charity Shield victory in Mudgee, saying he's a 30-year-old and one of the top players the game has ever seen. He understands what works and what doesn't. And Melbourne's quest to find a replacement for retired star Billy Slater at fullback remains up in the air 2 weeks from the start of the NRL season. Youngster Scott Drinkwater looked the man most likely to don the Storm's number one jersey against Brisbane on March 14. However, the 21-year-old is almost certain to miss the season opener after injuring himself in Saturday's 14-6 trial defeat to North Queensland in Mackay. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Chardonnay. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
When you're driving, never overtake a turning truck. Trucks may take up more than one lane when turning or on roundabouts. Increased construction across Sydney means more trucks on our roads, so be truck aware. In Pennant Hills, there's been a smash on Cumberland Highway just past Castle Hill Road. We've got one of three northbound lanes closed there. In Surrey Hills, Bourke Street is closed between Favot Street and Fitzroy Street and Cleveland Street for light rail construction. And in Alexandria, there's no left turn at the moment from Huntley Street into Euston Road due to roadworks. Want to live the dream? Live at the Hermitage, Gledswood Hills, located in the heart of one of Sydney's fastest-growing regions. Exclusive new homes now available. Search the Hermitage, Gledswood Hills today. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
The Mighty Mayor Winks, going for 31 in a row. Join us Monday morning for a comprehensive wrap. Dean Lester, the Duff and Glenn Munsey. The slipper puzzle coming together with the skyline and the sweet embrace. Join us, Putters Postmortem, 9 a.m.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their safe line window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors. Or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au.
It's as much a part of the autumn as the Derby and the Doncaster. The annual Racing Fraternity Mass brings all sections of the racing industry together. Everyone is welcome to attend the Mass in the Royal Randwick Ballroom, Randwick Racecourse at 11 a.m. Sunday, March 17.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Partly cloudy, a slight chance for shower in the morning and early afternoon, but looking outside, James, beautiful blue skies today.
Isn't it? Look good.
The chance for thunderstorm this morning along the coastal fringe again. I can't see it happening anyway. Top temperature of 28 degrees in Sydney today. A beautiful early autumn day. James, what's the current temperature at Marrickville and the forecast for Mudgee today?
Well, Marrickville, we had Jeff Fenwick mentioned, mm-hmm. of course. It's 21 degrees with an expected top of 27 degrees. Now, Mudgee, whatever you think from Mudgee, right?
you know,
go on, who'd you mention?
You asked me in the ad break. Yeah. I said, oh, Ken Sutcliffe comes from Mudgee. And You laughed your head off. I don't know why. Ken Sucker's a very good media man.
That'll do me. Mostly sunny, 31 degrees at Mudgee.
Oh, gee.
Last one here for Brisbane. O'Sullivan to the line. Out the back they go. Short pass. Nick Arima is in for try number three. Alex Glenn.
Looking to spread it out wide now. Cuss. Dummies. And he goes.
Going through this set. Oh, mistake made at the back. By the Dragons, under pressure. Good hands, Johnson. There is the hat trick. And it's Corey Allen who dives in for number three.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Second hour, we've got Zorba very shortly. Debbie Kapitas will be on. Event Cinema's quiz. Score update on that, Ray? Score update.
4-all?
It's 4-all, it is. It's shrouded in controversy the last couple of weeks. I've got to say, Dave from Wattlegrove already has been on the SMS asking, what could we possibly serve up today? Well, that's the thing. Who knows?
Dave,
who knows? Brad Rosen along to talk NBL Finals. Kings rubbish Thursday night.
Bounce back today,
got to bounce back today at home. Our talk topic's going gangbusters. Before we get to that, we've had our say on Jack DeBellin. I'm going to be very interested to hear what Zorba says about Dylan Walker, which has a direct impact and a deep impact on what's happening at the Manly Seagulls and all the others, Shane Flanagan, Scott Bolton, etc., etc. We'll get his thoughts on that very shortly. We've had our say on it. And we're also talking about Winks today and the great performance. But our talk topic has been inspired by our guest coming up in the next hour, Jamison Leeson from Dunedoo, who's, well, I was going to say the second most famous. He may well be the most famous ahead of Huey Bowman. We'll have to wait and see that. But hometown heroes, and there's lots of SMS coming in. Nathan Blacklock, Preston Campbell, Bevan French, and Owen Craigie, all from Tinga.
Wow.
Population 887.
Decent effort.
That's from the Yankee again.
Hi, Ray. I'm finding it very annoying that the media is constantly promoting Winx's retirement when I haven't heard the owners announce her retirement. I may have missed it. The owners have the opportunity to create a Don Bradman of racing by winning five Cox Plates.
That's true.
There is no rush to the breeding barn. No great mare has thrown successful offspring. Retiring her after the Cox Plate will give her body a full year to relax in the paddock and allow her internal organs to return to non-racing mode rather than the 6 months if she retires in March. Only Laurie Daly has questioned her retirement. No horse will ever get near five Cox Plates from Chicken on a Chain. A lot of people wish she was racing on because she's going as well as ever, but look, unfortunately, time does catch up with all of us eventually, and the owners and trainers, the Team Winks basically don't want to be the ones to push a one preparation too far. They are happy to go out this autumn, so, and they have announced that she will be retired and go.
She's racing her. Better than ever, though.
She is, but
better than ever.
But she'll be a rising. She's a rising 8-year-old, James.
The first question in the China Doll long-time listener quiz, and that is, what was Blake Shin doing with Happy Clapper during the course of the race? What was Blake Shin doing with Happy Clapper during the course of the race? Do not call yet. Wait till you get your third question. Then you go, your chance to win a $150 voucher at China Doll, courtesy of chinadoll.com.au. Time now to talk to Zorba. Big week for the game of rugby league. Huge announcements on Thursday. Impact directly what's happening at Manly Warringah Seagulls. He's on the line. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray.
Morning,
well,
Pete.
It's been a hectic week, hasn't it, for the game? I've got some strong views on it, and let's get going.
Yep. What are they?
Well, a few months ago, Peter Beattie and Todd Greenberg were being hammered by the media, particularly the print media. Suddenly, they're the knights in shining armour, saviours of rugby league.
Yep.
I don't buy it. The massive knee-jerk reaction is how I see it.
Yep.
It's the criticism of shocking player behaviour. I'll agree to that. But it's a dozen out of over 500 players. I think it's over the top. And it smacks of it's an unhealthy police-state attitude now in our game. The best legal minds in New South Wales are shaking their heads at some of the decisions of this week. For a start, that's a big start, who decided on the 11-year maximum sentence benchmark used in the Jack DeBellin case? There is no crime in New South Wales which carries an 11-year sentence. That's right, no crime. Why? And where was that number plucked out of nowhere? Our game is now wide open for organised corruption.
Mm-hmm.
I heard Alan Jones speak about it during the week, and make no bones about that. It could now easily be manipulated as a vehicle for the abused, and with so much money bet on the NRL, the ramifications are scary. An organised sting around a disgruntled partner of an NRL star 6 weeks out from a final series could easily be staged. And we should remember that to date, no NRL player has been found guilty in court of serious sexual assault charges against women. Hazem El Masri, Sean Kenny Dowell, Anthony Lafranchi, and Brett Stewart are the most recent all found not guilty. All were given their democratic right and weren't stood down by their clubs while they pleaded their innocence. Jack DeBellin and Dylan Walker have this week been denied that right, and I think that's wrong. It must be hard for them to believe that the system of justice will ultimately decide their fate in the end, and that's the only good thing out of this.
Zorb, I don't know whether you heard it earlier. I said you have to be very careful what you're striving to achieve out of this. Are you looking for positive press for yourself, or what is the best outcome for all constituents of the game of rugby league? And everyone says, oh, that players need a deterrent. Well, that's what the law is. If you do the wrong thing, you go to jail.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I don't like the way our game is going. There is too much power now at NRL Central, and it isn't good for the game to have people standing over the ultimate people that decide on how the game's going, and that's the players. Look, the behaviour's been disgraceful. Everyone agrees with that. And something had to be done. But this, I think, is too far, too soon. I don't like it, and I think if the players are now going to feel as though I can see more trouble ahead just when the Players Association and the league were starting to get their act together and work as one.
Mm.
So then what should the NRL have done? What could they have done?
Well, I think what they could have done is done what's been done in the past. I mean, that's always been... Look, they've been able to get through... It's a resilient game. It's been able to get through the headlines before. I mean, look at those players that I mentioned before. You know, Hazem El Masri worked for the NRL. Brett Stewart was going to be the face of the game. Anthony Lafranchi works in the NRL now. Sean Kenny Dowell, a veteran.
Still playing.
Those charges were horrible, but they were found not guilty.
Yeah.
It scarred them for life, but at least they've been able to come out the other side and hold their head high and say, I said I was innocent. Give these boys a chance to say they're innocent. A lot of people say, well, what about the victims? Well, the victims aren't named, and I feel for them, and they deserve all of the help that is there for them. But they're not named. They're not shamed. What is Jack DeBellin going through at the moment?
Mm.
And Dylan Walker. I'm disappointed that Manly have taken this almost quietly. They didn't with Brett Stewart, and they were proved to be right.
Yeah.
Why now is everybody standing there and saying okay to what the league is doing without putting up a battle?
Yeah, it's a very good point that you make, Zorba, and consider this with Jack DeBellin, and you know, I've spoken to insiders at the Dragons. They are convinced of his innocence. Now, let that play out in the court, but that presumption of innocence needs to be there. It's not there. And
Jimmy,
the impact it's having on that young man, and yes, with due respect to the alleged victim, this is the situation that they have put those players in. The NRL had the right to stand down Jack DeBellin when it first became public knowledge in December. They chose not to. What was more damaging? The negative headlines that we had in that three-month period, and then they get to the 11th hour, and Todd Greenberg tries to convince Jack DeBellin to stand down so he didn't have to make the tough decision himself, and that's called leadership?
Yeah.
Come on.
I think we place too much credence in the initial police reports. Now, look, I would never, ever, ever criticise the job that police do in our society. You know, they do a terrific job, and it's a bloody difficult job. But they don't get it right all of the time. And there are people that are in the police force that are good policemen and women, and there are not-so-good ones. And I've witnessed the not-so-good ones mounting a case which was pathetic in the Brett Stewart issue. It was, you could shoot holes in it from day one, and the lawyers did, and the jury couldn't wait to put their hands up and say, not guilty, this is absolutely scandalous as to how this got this far. Mm. Now, whilst we place a lot of faith in the police, they're not always right. And that's been proven on many occasions. So that's what I want to say about that issue this week. But
fair
on
enough.
Player behaviour, can I say this now? Last night I witnessed just why the Sydney Roosters and their coach Trent Robinson are now the benchmark for all codes of football in Australia. And people in rugby league can be proud of that. I watched the Roosters versus Manly trial at Central Coast Stadium last night, and I sat in the next open-air box to the entire Roosters side and their coach, Trent Robinson, before he went to the coach's box. And I can understand why they're the reigning premiers. They were all rested from the trial last night, and what a powerful squad when you look at them. I mean, you just look at their wingers, and you see Brett Morris, and you see Ryan Hall from England, and Big Tupu is like a giraffe. I mean, they're strong in every position. But away from that, not once did the group refuse a photo or autograph request. They did it with a smile. They applauded their club mates, and they're all dressed in club uniform. They looked like a football team going to work. At the end of the night, this is what impressed me the most, they remained behind, and every one of them picked up the open water bottles that they'd drunk water from. They cleaned the rubbish out of their box. No one asked them to do it. They just did it. And I know it's something that Robinson has picked up from the All Blacks, and he picks up the best of all the sporting clubs and teams around the world. They're a class act on and off the field, and how that club has got to the top is a credit to Nick Politis and the board at the Roosters. So couldn't have been more impressed, and I'm looking forward to them starting the competition against South Sydney in a couple of weeks' time, where Cooper Cronk, would you believe, will play his 350th game of rugby league, and what were the chances of him doing that at the SCG?
Mm. Exactly. Hey, Zorb, what did you make of the start of the Wayne Bennett era in Mudgee overnight, 36-24 South Sydney against St George Illawarra?
Because I was at Gosford, I missed a lot of that. I tried to pick it up when I got home and had a look at a bit of it. They played tough, didn't they? And that was one trial that was played in a manner of which was close to a premiership game. Yeah, good start for them. Not so good for the Dragons, but they've had a lot of issues to deal with. So I reckon it might have affected them, and we'll see them first round be a little bit different.
Yep.
I also had the opportunity to talk to a very high-profile player-manager there last night, and the power of the player-managers is slowly being eroded in the NRL, and we've spoken about this, boys, lots and lots of times. The managers now, and I don't know if this has been reported, but anyway, here we go, now have 48 hours to self-report player misbehaviour issues to the NRL Integrity Unit. If they don't and the NRL find out, then they face possible deregistration. So they're on notice as well. So everybody in our game is walking on eggshells at the moment. The move will force some earlier than expected exits from the game for some veteran managers.
Interesting. Mm. Interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah.
Also, last week we spoke on the program about the trials could become a thing of the past, and I think we saw the Roosters and Manly go a long way towards that last night with virtually none of their star players playing in last night's trial, which means the Roosters will go into the opening game of the season on the back of one hit out in England.
Yes.
In the World Club Challenge, and Manly will go into it with 40 minutes against the Cronulla Sharks. Now, that's a long way from what we're used to, and I think ultimately it could mean the end of traditional trials like last night's Dragons versus Rabbitohs Charity Shield game, and those games could still be played,
yeah,
but incorporated in the Premiership proper.
Well, unless you commercialise them in some way, shape or form, which is always open to the clubs and the NRL as well. Zorb, next week, Premiers, top eight, most losses. You're on the line, mate.
Yeah, I love that. particularly against you two, Blake.
Oh, come on. Please.
Come on.
But you for fun.
Reckon it's easy beat to reckon so.
Week off and we're off and running, and what about some of the games? Storm versus Broncos is going to answer a lot of questions.
Fascinating.
You know, that's going to be, are the Storm the side they've been? Are the Broncos going to be different with Seibold in charge? That's the Thursday night game. Then the Knights and the Sharks walloped the Knights last night, so they'll probably be confident about that, and Sean Thompson making a very sparkling debut, according to people I've spoken to in that game. Then the game I spoke about, for Roosters and the Rabbitohs at the SCG, Cooper Cronk, 350th game, Jared Warrior Hargraves, pinch from Manly under 20s, 200th first grade game. Warriors and Bulldogs, Warriors looked okay,
yes,
in their trial last night in the bits I saw of that. The West Tigers, they played, and they play Manly at Leichhardt, which is always a tough game. Cowboys and Dragons, both sides expected to do well. Panthers and the Eels, and the Eels put 20 on the Panthers last night, but in the real thing, I think it might be a bit different. And then two teams that we expect to go better this year, the Titans and the Raiders, rounded it off. It should be an interesting first round.
Yeah, fascinating first round, and we'll look forward to those predictions next week. Good on you, Zorb.
Talk to you then, boys.
There he is, Peter Peters, his thoughts on the game of rugby league. Melbourne, $1.60 favourites for that game against the Brisbane Broncos, $2.35. That is value for the Broncos.
Before we go to a quick ad break,
yes,
there was an ODI in the West Indies overnight.
Oh, yeah, you love
England
this.
Lost their last five wickets for two.
Good.
Rolled for 113 off 28 overs.
Excellent.
The West Indies have taken 12.1 overs, 3 for 115. Chris Gayle.
Yes.
77 runs off 27 balls, a strike rate of 285, 9 sixes, 5 fours, and he wants to retire.
So reasonably subdued for Chris Gayle. 13.53.53 is the open line number. Debbie Kapitas up next.
Sky Sports Radio has your perfect start to a winning day. Racing HQ is the complete package of all the day's vital racing information.
She'll get a lovely run just in behind the speed.
She's got to win in her very soon.
From 10, we'll preview the major New South Wales meet, and you'll hear from all the newsmakers, trainers, jockeys and owners. Racing HQ is required listening every morning on Sky Sports Radio.
So, who are you backing in the next?
Well, I like this one at the distance, but...
TAB's got you covered for the country and provincial championship qualifiers. Place a fixed odds win bet on any qualifier this weekend, and if your horse runs second or third, get a bonus bet back up to $50.
We're on here, boys. Lock it in.
So, who are you backing? TAB. Download the app today. Excludes SA and WA residents. TAB account best only. T's and C's at tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
Supercoach NRL is back. Take on your mates in the ultimate test of footy knowledge and compete to win 50 grand plus weekly cash prizes. Season starts March 14, so round up your mates and register your team at supercoach.com.au. Conditions apply.
Petrosos again. Jimmy Petrosos! That is magnificent for Jimmy Petrosos. Kick that one out. That is game, set and match.
He just thought the Jets don't want to take the buffer. And Demi, who's been blazing away all season with just seconds left, says, have a piece of this.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Quickly before we go to callers and then Debbie Kapitas, Jimmy and Zorba live in the NRL Mungo bubble. The general public think the new player behaviour rules are good. Something had to be done. That's from Lenny. And then you get this, right? So we've had both sides. This is from Garvin on Twitter. The NRL, and more importantly Todd Greenberg, dare playing judge, jury and executioner before due legal process has occurred, which is what we've spoken about a lot over the last couple of weeks.
It polarises opinion.
Very much so. There are a lot of SMS coming in. The police are always right. They press charges on the evidence in front of them. That's from Fitzy. That's not the case, Fitzy. They are not always right. I guess sometimes they lay charges and may not believe that the charges will stick or be proven.
Mm. Yep.
Which is a separate, and that's separate altogether.
Very, very difficult job being a policeman.
Yep. Let's go to the open line. Pete's there. G'day, Pete.
Hello, how are you? Two things. A court of public opinion is not the court of law. And this is where
correct.
We all get confused.
Yep.
And, it's ridiculous. And making rules on the run never work. And rugby league should know that since 1908. They've been trying to do it and they bugger it up always. Now, the second thing, Jimmy, for you.
Yes.
The four-legged lottery. There was a horse cost $11,000, won a $600,000 race yesterday in Melbourne.
Mm.
It was bought in Tasmania. And a $2 million colt race for the Waterhouse last Saturday week and ran last. So,
Ferretti?
That was Mystic Journey at one.
Mystic
yesterday.
Journey, the one yesterday.
Yes.
Pete?
That's the great game, Pete, isn't it?
Isn't it? Like, you know, so life's got many levels, isn't it? You
it
know,
certainly
you
has.
Spend $2 million, not win. You can spend $11,000 and win a top race.
And therein lies the beauty, Pete. Therein lies the beauty.
You just never know.
Yeah, exactly. It's so
good call, Pete.
So exciting.
Pete's name down.
I am writing Pete's name down. Actually, I'm going to give Pete a double asterisk there because we do have a prize to give away. We've got the Wingman beer. We haven't mentioned it. We need to mention our prizes.
Yeah.
We've got the Wingman beer and a copy of the book Winx by Ray Thomas, as written by Ray Thomas, spoken and authorised by Ray Thomas. Let's stay with the open line.
Move on.
Hello, Alan.
Good day, guys. How are you?
Morning,
really
Alan.
Well, mate.
Mate, as you probably know, I'm the chairman of Group 16 Rugby League down on the far south coast in the southern tablelands.
Okay.
Last Saturday at Bega,
yes,
on the far south coast, we hosted the Canberra Raiders and the Sydney Bulldogs in a trial game down here on the Saturday.
We better call them the Canterbury Bulldogs, Al. The supporters get upset.
Okay, sorry about that. But, look, we'd like to bring the attention and congratulate both the clubs on their absolute exemplary behaviour, the way they conduct themselves down in our area, the way they engage with the community, the young kiddies, the fans. They were nothing short than sensational, mate.
Mm. Alan, it's interesting, isn't it? Because unfortunately, the negative press that the game receives, and quite rightly so, for some of the terrible things players do.
Well, I'm not even sure about that.
Yeah, but yeah. It does mask a lot of the great things that players do. And you've just mentioned a couple of things. And Jimmy and I, we've dealt with the St George Club behind the scenes and a couple of issues close to my heart in recent months, and they've been fantastic. And Alan, that's a terrific call. Thanks for calling, letting us know, because a lot of the players do great things behind the scenes and never ask for anything.
And Al, can you just confirm that there is a statue of Michael Wayman at Maruya?
Oh, there is. Sometimes it gets decorated by other clubs, visiting clubs there. And, you know, sometimes it's had a different coloured jersey placed on it and all those sorts of things. So, yes, you know, there's a good statue just there near the river at Maria Bridge there of Michael. And he's a good man, Michael. And, you know, it's a great statue.
Absolutely.
Great call,
absolutely.
Alan.
Good on you. You know what? Appreciate it. And good luck for Group 16 throughout the course of 2019, mate.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys, and we'll be listening to your show.
Great stuff. I'll tell you what, there's a double asterisk there for Alan. He's a long time
winning
listener.
A prize, you reckon?
Long time listener, yeah. I'll tell you who's won a prize, Ray. Debbie Caputis won again yesterday.
Yeah, and it was great to see. And Debbie's on the line. Of course, she's a part owner of Winx. And Debbie, good morning. Congratulations. Great scenes again there yesterday. We never tire of it. And Debbie, we're getting a recurring theme from our listeners this morning. Don't retire her.
Morning, boys. Look, isn't it amazing? She's just unbelievable. You can't... You can't fathom what she's doing, but you think she's a 7-year-old mare. Wow, you know, like, she's just as good as she was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it just blows your mind what she does.
So, based on those comments from you, would you be open to her running for a fifth Cox Plate?
Look, I doubt that. I doubt that very, very much. It's a very hard ask. You've got to remember, it's wonderful that she's going well now, but you just don't want to go one too many times. And, you know, like we haven't said definitely that she's finishing in the next two, but we have not looked anywhere past that.
Mm.
So that's where it is. My gut says, you know, like you've just got to be careful. And she just keeps defying everything. So she's just amazing.
Debbie, you've just left the door ajar, and these journalists like Ray Thomas will come charging through.
No, there isn't. There's no door ajar.
I tell you what, though, Deb, I think Chris Waller, for all the great things he's done with the mayor, is almost looking forward to the day when it's all over because...
No, he's not.
Oh, that crushing pressure.
No, he's not.
And I guess the pressure that you're under as well, Debbie, to see the horse each and every preparation come up as well as she does, it's not an easy feat.
Look, it's not. And Chris is under a huge pressure and he handles it brilliantly, but it still is just so... It's something... It's very uncharted waters.
Mm.
And you just can't... You can't push it too far. It's amazing, you know, like, you don't want her to lose now. I know that's arrogant saying that, but it's not that you think, you know, you want racing to be spoilt by her, not, you know, by her just barreling them all over and always winning, but the fact that you just want her to keep this phenomenal record and you don't want to have it sort of marred at all, which it wouldn't be because she's done what she's done. But to go out on a high is really the best thing in sport, isn't it? And everybody in all sports, that's really what you want to do.
Yeah.
So, look, it's not a definite that she's finished, she's even going to race two more times. But, look, I can't see her racing past the end of this prep.
Well, I said to Chris last time he was on the program, oh, look, does it really matter if she loses? He said yes.
He did actually.
He's most adamant that it did matter. What about Debbie yesterday with the way that Happy Clapper really took her on at any point, or maybe at every point? Were you a bit worried about how she responds?
Look, yeah, really, you were worried.
Mm-hmm.
You always had it in the back of your mind. You know her so well, and you know what she can do. As long as she's still in that frame and can do that, there was no way she was not going to win. Mm-hmm. But what a great way they, you know, absolute congratulations to Pat Webster and Blake Shin for making it the race. That's not his usual pattern. And they came out and they made it a phenomenal race. And she got a record because of what they'd done. Now, without them taking her to that point, that record would not have been there. So they've created that record. How exciting is that for them? What a great campaigner Happy Clapper is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just wonderful to see competition like that.
Yeah, he made a race for it yesterday. Deb, have you had a chance to talk to Chris this morning? Because, again, it was noticeable that Ed Huey didn't put the mare under any undue pressure late in the race, and that helps her recovery. Have you got any up-to-the-minute sort of reports on how she's come through the race?
No, I've left him alone this morning.
Okay.
And generally, if there's something amiss or something unusual, you hear about it. But she was good last night. She went back. She recovered in her usual manner.
Mm-hmm.
She, you know, she had a blow, but she was back to her normal self very quickly, which is her pattern. And I would say, not having heard anything, that's exactly how she'd be this morning. And that she just, you just can't believe that she does this every time she races.
Mm.
And that is part of her, I think. That is part of why. Because of all the recovery she can do as well.
Mm, yeah, just amazing. Well, if you don't want to upset Chris this morning and badger him, we will. Generally, that's what we do on a Sunday morning after Winks run. So, Debbie, we'll fill your void there on that one. Look, Deb, we've got to keep moving. Congratulations again.
Absolutely.
You probably get sick of hearing it, but I'm sure you never get sick of seeing her run, and especially when she keeps running the way she is. Good luck for the remaining two races and those other races which you've hinted at this morning.
No. You ask Chris about that.
All right, okay. No, fair enough. Fair enough.
Thanks, Debbie.
And thank you so much. Thank you to everybody for loving it like they do.
Nah, no problem at all. No problem. Debbie Caputis there, part owner of the legendary Winks.
We just got an SMS. How tall is Winks? She's about 16'2", not quite 16'2", Jim. So she's average size, maybe a fraction taller.
Yeah, right. 13'53", 53". Just before we go to the break, and we've got our event cinemas quiz coming up here. Hometown heroes, Clive Churchill, Luskin star, Mark Richards.
Wow.
All Newcastle.
Newcastle.
There you go. That was from Bowie. And then we've got a lot of people coming in wanting to have their say around Zorba. I agree with Zorba. What would have happened if a fake report was made about, say, Jonathan Thurston prior to that one-point grand final win the Cowboys beat the Broncos? According to the rules now set in place, he would have been sidelined and someone could win millions. Rick from Narellan. So, can of worms, NRL, can of worms. By the way, if you'd like to get involved in our event cinemas quiz, score update, Raymond?
4-4, James.
4-4. Please call now on 1353 53. Please call now on 1353 53. And Dave from Wattlegrove, we thought we couldn't go wrong in any other way. But let's just wait and see what happens
today. Something will go wrong.
Join myself and Lars from 5:30. Look forward to it. The good and the bad from the NRL trials over the weekend. The mighty mayor Winks and all the drama that goes along with that. Plus, the Aussies against India in the world of one-day cricket.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life? If this sounds like you, then you should give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about combining your unsecured debts into just one weekly repayment tailored to your budget. That's a solution working for you. Focus on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1300 107 155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
Entries are open for the 2019 English Australian Broodmare and Weanling Sale. With no pass in commission and no commission payable on balances above $100,000, it's the best place to sell quality bloodstock. English Riverside Stables, Sydney. Entries close Friday, March 8. Go to English.com.au. That's English.com.au.
Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Sorry, mate. Welcome back to the Roger Federer program with Ray Thomas.
That was his 100th career win in Dubai overnight, second only to Jimmy Connors on 109, and he's 37. He's going to keep on keeping on, isn't he, Roger?
Apparently they're going to set him for the Cox Plate. That's Chris Wallace going to train him. There we go. Event cinemas, of course, have got the In the House cult film classics returning to George Street on March 11th, kicking off the season with Sylvester Stallone back as John Rambo in First Blood.
There you go.
Remember that?
Yeah, great movie.
Do not miss your favourite cult classics back on the big screen on Monday night. Cinebuzz members can see it for just $12. Head on over to eventcinemas.com.au to grab your tickets now. Right, here we go. We haven't decided who's player one, player two.
You can open the batting.
I'll be player one. Look at that. Get the even number, Ray. What time was the alarm set for this morning?
It didn't go off because I was awake an hour early. Set for 4:46.
4:46.
Woke up an hour early.
What time did you wake up?
3:44.
Even number. There we go. Okay. Well, you only wake up on even numbers. Your brain is programmed that way.
I can't say that.
Yes, you can.
We'll move on.
Okay, John's online. G'day, John.
Hey, boys. How are you?
Yeah, really well. You go to the trial of Maitland yesterday?
No, I didn't, mate. Nah, I had to work.
No worries.
Fair enough.
All right, let's get you a win here today, John.
Good luck, John.
Thank you.
What single sporting event has the biggest spectator attendance in the world?
I'll go the gridiron. The Super Bowl, nah.
Single sporting event? No, it's the Tour de France.
Oh, the Tour de France, yeah.
Well, it goes over a month, doesn't it? So you've got a good opportunity to watch it.
They reckon the other one is Paris to Dubai. That gets millions of people too.
Paris to Dakar.
Yeah. Dubai, that'd be a tough one.
I know,
wouldn't it? Get the submarines out and everything. Anyway, John, none from one.
Okay.
Me, none from one. Okay.
Oh, here we go.
Question two. What are you laughing at?
You're starting
to gloat, Ray.
No, I'm not.
It's very different.
I was laughing
you.
At you got submarine chokers. I was laughing.
What year, John, did Eddie the Eagle leap to stardom at the Winter Olympics? Was it A, 1980, B, 1984, and C, 1988?
I would go, what's that, 36? What am I, 50? I'd say 84.
You know what? I would have said 84 as well.
So would I, actually.
It's actually 88, but I love the methodology too.
Yeah,
I would have been that. Yeah.
Remember that? It was phenomenal, wasn't it, Eddie the Eagle? We made a movie out of him.
Trouble.
You're right. Here we go. Final question. We need it. Just get on the board here. Who is the youngest female tennis player to ever win a Grand Slam singles title? Is it A, Martina Hingis, B, Steffi Graf, or C, Serena Williams?
Hingis.
Yes.
Oh, well done.
Yeah, said it with confidence too.
Was she 15 or 16?
What about Jennifer Capriati? How old? She made the semi-finals of the French Open as a 14-year-old.
Yeah, no,
sure.
Prodigious talent. Okay.
So stay on the line, Johnny.
Michael, you there?
Yes.
Yeah, good morning, Michael. 1-2, 2-2, mate. Very best of luck. Question number one. What did Nick Kyrgios get criticised for during his win against Rafa at the Mexican Open over the weekend? What did he get criticised for?
Arguing with the crowd.
Yeah, I would have gone something like that. He actually served a ball underarm to Nadal's surprise. It's underhanded, isn't it?
Michael Chang did that to win at the French Open in 1989.
Is that because he got the yips, eh?
No, he was cramping. He was cramping so badly he couldn't serve over there.
But Kyrgios is just Kyrgios. But anyway, here we go, Michael. We'll get it back on track here. How do you pronounce this, Jim? Mintonette? Mintonette?
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Mintonette was the original name of what sport, Michael? It's multiple choice. A, lacrosse. B, tennis. C, volleyball.
Lacrosse.
Tough one. Never heard of this. It was volleyball. Mintonette. The original name for volleyball. Here we go.
Do you feel it was the pronunciation that was putting you off there, Michael, from Ray?
I don't know. I don't have a clue.
I'm with you, Michael. I had no idea. Here we go.
Yeah, good luck with this one.
Now, I can't pronounce it, but I know exactly who he's saying. Who is Edson Arantes do Nascimento, better known as? A, Ronaldo. B, Pelé. C, Neymar.
Neymar.
Yeah, that's okay.
No, it's better than okay. It's fantastic. See you later, Michael. Johnny, you there?
Buddy?
You ready to go, mate?
My multiple choice, I'll just say A.
No, you've won, John. You've won.
Well, the choices are this. A, would you like two tickets from Event Cinemas? Or B, would you like two tickets from Event Cinemas?
I go A.
Correct him on that,
well
John. Oh, well done, buddy. Congratulations. I don't know where's the nearest Event Cinemas?
Charlestown.
Oh, perfect.
In Newcastle. There
perfect.
You go.
Mate, yeah. you stay on the line, Johnny. We've got a new batch during the course of the week from Elizabeth and Prakash from Event Cinemas. I think Prakash is just far too busy with all the stuff that he's got going on.
But he didn't let you down in the end.
No.
He's come through in the crunch.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So thank you, Elizabeth and Prakash from Event Cinemas. We've got those two tickets. They'll be heading out to John from Cessnock on that win. Just a little bit of an update there now, Roman. I'd describe that as a real comeback, three on the trot.
I'd say it's a clear lead now to James Smith.
And you're away next week, aren't
yes.
you? You've got some stuff on, so as a result of that, I'll go to 6-4. Very hard
you're
to win.
Declaring it already, are you?
Not here. I'll tell you what. You know what? This is the thing that gets me. And I know we've just got to go to a break.
What gets you, James? There's a few things I'm tipping my
But when Michael answers incorrectly for that third question, the collective heads that go down in the production room, panel operator Hamish, producer Steve, producer Tanya, they all dip their heads
ridiculous.
And say, oh, no, he didn't win.
You've been perpetuating this myth for about 5 years now.
No, yeah, the reason. It's called, you know, they
plays a straight bat.
You know, they call it cliches because they're truisms, mate. It's a great team you've got going on here. I wish
one
I was on it.
Here.
I wish I was on
it. Part of it.
1353-53, open line number. Brad Rosen, I'll tell you what, we need him to get out there and pump up those Kings for tonight because they were terrible on Thursday.
The Mardi Mayor Winks, going for 31 in a row. Join us Monday morning for a comprehensive wrap. Dean Lester, the Duff and Glenn Munsey. The Slipper Puzzle coming together with the Skyline and the Sweden Brain. Join us, Punters Postmortem, 9 a.m.
It's Cheval Grand! Cheval Grand goes on and wins the Japan Cup!
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Tricolours invites you to their 2019 yearling launch on Thursday, March 7 at the Republic Hotel from 6 p.m. Join host Joel Kane and special guests Joe Pride, John Sargent and Rick Connolly for an insightful and entertaining evening you can't afford to miss. Shares will be available to purchase in our 2019 yearlings by leading stallions including All Too Hard, Smart Missile and Zoostar. Is 2019 the year you take the plunge? Places are strictly limited, so RSVP today. Visit tricolours.com.au. APSL 336964.
It's left to AJ Davis Jr. He can't make it go. Adam Gibson now. The second's expiring. And the Perth Wildcats stand and celebrate.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. Jimmy, your talk topic has been terrific so far this morning, but this is an interesting little take on life from Jared at Oatlands. Rugby league has been an enormous part of my life since the mid to late 60s, but I'm concerned about its future. The reason, James? It's bad enough Parramatta has the wooden spoon, and there's talk they'll retain it. A win to without rugby league would be worse. I know Tanya thinks they'll be the big improvers this year, the mighty Parramatta Eels. They'll climb off the bottom.
It's amazing how those people can have faith. Despite
got to have faith in your team.
Yeah, well, they had a win last night, so 20 points to nil over Penrith. They played Penrith in round one out at Penrith, so I'll be there. I'll be looking forward to that one. So there is hope for Parramatta fans. The Blue and Gold Army ready to march, just not sure where they're going at this point. Now, Brad Rosen, he needs to get out there to those Sydney Kings today before the game and give them a little bit of a pump up. I thought it was... I got home from an event and watched the second. It was horrible, right? Horrible. What did Brad Rosen make of it? Morning, Bradley.
We're going back to Melbourne on Tuesday.
Oh, there we go. Hey, like your confidence.
I feel it.
Is that because...
We're not visiting Melbourne. Well, I hope we're there for a game.
To be fair, Brad, the Kings have made a habit this season of rebounding off a bad loss, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. And let's put it plainly, they didn't perform on Thursday night. They weren't good. But I think we've got to take a lot from Melbourne as well. Let's not take it away from them. They played really well. Their game plan was brilliant. They did exactly what they needed to do, and they were able to, you know, beat the Sydney Kings at their own game. Now in front of what I believe is going to be the biggest crowd, over 12,000 people today, the Sydney Kings get to return serve, and I see them winning it, and we're going back to Melbourne on Tuesday.
Brad, here's how I took it as I watched the game unfold in the second half on Thursday night. And
I'm looking forward to this.
Brad, the body language of Andrew Gaze on the sideline was a concern. And to me, it typified the fact that basically what's happened over the course of the last week is that the Sydney Kings and the players have said Andrew Gaze is not the man to lead us forward and that they will go out of the semi-finals in a whimper. That was my concern.
Well, look, I mean, I guess you're fair to say that. When you look at it and you add it all up and you say to yourself, well, hang on, the guy said he's not coming back next year. The body language was not good. You're 100% right. And the way they played. But what I will say is this. Number one, Andrew Gaze rides every play like every single day he does in his life. So if they're not playing well, he's not there. So I don't see so much that his body language, like once they're up, they're up. When they're down, and that's what Drury's been like for three seasons with the Kings. So I think that's just how they're going to roll, and that's how it is. For today, I see them coming out and just having so much energy. This is it now, you know. It's like win or go home, as they say. So I feel that they can turn this around. I hope Jerome Randall is okay. I don't know if that injury is playing any effect whatsoever, but Casper Ware was brilliant on Thursday night. And the one thing that really I struggled with is Melbourne, who are renowned for a running team, play really well. Their first 18 points was 6 threes.
Yep.
Mm. Now, if you're going to give a team 6 threes of, you know, Golding and McCarron and Casper Ware, who hit three of the, you know, three in the first minute or whatever it was, this team's on a roll. You can't afford that. The Kings have to get back to their defensive stance. Mm. I think they'll be much better today. I think it's going to be extremely tough. Let's just put it out. The Sydney Kings have won one game after, out of the last 12 against Melbourne.
Yeah.
So it's all up for them today. But go those Kings.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Apart from the three-point shooting, obviously, Brad, the rebounding, that was one area I thought Sydney have really got to pick out because Melbourne just dominated the boards.
Woeful. Mm. Woeful was the word. You're 100% right there. Rebounding was atrocious. And this is something that's been a concern all year. I mean, yeah. Andrew Bogut leads the league in rebounding, but yet the Kings are the worst rebounding team in the league. So they need to get more, number one, on the defensive glass. They need to be able to get more out of Ware and Kickett and Brad Newley crashing the glass, but also on the offensive end. And this is something that they need to, you know, for our listeners, when you go and crash the offensive board, even if you don't get the rebound, you're slowing the game down a little bit. Where at the moment, if the Kings were missing, Melbourne were just wrapping that off the rim and they were down like greyhounds down the other end. And that's really hard on the defensive transition of the Kings to be able to perform on that. So for me, I think it's, you know, they've just got to throw that game out the window. There wasn't a lot they did well. They've got to get back to what they were doing, and defence is going to win it. 20 points a quarter, keep Melbourne under 80, and they're a good show of winning.
All right, based on that, yeah. So if we look at a scoreline, and I'm just looking at the overs and unders here from tab.com.au, the line is 169.5. So we're looking at an 85 to 84 game, right, and you're a winner for the unders. So if Sydney are to win, that's the way you see them doing it, right?
Yeah, I don't, I mean, you know, I haven't got the stats in front of me, but I don't see them winning a lot of games when the team scores over 80. So there's two reasons for that. Number one, if the Kings are letting the team get over 80, then they're getting less possessions.
Yes.
And when the Kings are getting less possessions, they're not scoring as much, obviously. The other side of it is when they keep the team under 80, they're getting stops. So that means they're getting steals, they're getting turnovers, they're getting rebounds, and they're able to run. Brad Newley in the open court, Jerome Randle in the open court, Kevin Lish in the open court. They're brilliant that way. And that's why I think it's the key for them today. They've got to get those stops. The last time they played Melbourne, I actually called that game, and Melbourne, I think, had 17 turnovers. And that's what kept them under 80 and allowed the Kings to get a good score.
Exactly. Well, hopefully this series will go to game three, and the winner then will go on to play Perth Wildcats, who were fantastic, beating the Bullets 2-0. Just a few weeks ago, Brad, we were talking about Perth potentially on the precipice of possibly falling out of the finals race. Here they are in another grand final.
Some people were talking about it. I certainly was not. The Perth Wildcats have not made 700 grand, well, 700 semi-finals and playoffs for the last 30 years for no reason. They're 33 straight champ, straight
playoffs.
They've been brilliant. Yeah. Look, last night they were tremendous. There was a very touching moment at the end of the game. Mika Pekona, who has been phenomenal, he played three quarters of a game the other night with a slightly torn Achilles. He then turned around and said he wants to play, and the coach said, I'm not playing you because that could be the end of your career, and he didn't care. And Andre Lamanis, who is our Boomers coach, broke down in the press conference.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful, touching moment. Mm. But look, take nothing away from Perth. They were the, you know, minor season champions. They were brilliant. I thought they were tremendous last night. Bryce Cotton and Tarico White, Nicholas Kay just led them beautifully. And I'll tell you what, I cannot see this team losing. They've got a five-game grand final series with three at home.
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to beat them over there, but let's hope the Sydney Kings and Melbourne can take it to a game three and what will be a ripper game Tuesday night.
2:20 is tip-off this afternoon. I was going to say get out there, but the tickets are probably all sold out as it stands, so that's going to be difficult. And there you go. The tip is that Perth will win it anyway. So,
look, it'll be a great series. I think whoever they go against will go five. I have said, I mean, obviously, Hart says Sydney. I see Melbourne winning it. Obviously, they've won game one. Sydney to win today. Melbourne win game three. Five-game series for the playoffs, Perth versus Melbourne. It's going to be a ripper. But today, go those Kings.
Well, I heard in the call, I think, of the last 19 times that semi-final series, you win the first game, you win the series on 18 out of 19.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So very tough, tough, very tough.
It's a tough gig to do. Mm.
Yeah. Like you and the Parramatta fans, Brad, one for the believers today.
Thanks, Brad.
Good on you, mate.
Good on you, boys. See ya. See
Brad Rosen there, former Sydney Kings captain. They need to go today. Fair dinkum, 13:53:53.
Your talk topic, Gaz from Granville. Paul Hogan, you live three doors down. Good name for a band, just quietly.
Thank you, Gaz. Very good.
Three doors
very
down,
good.
Remember that?
Hi, Jim. Love the fact that John, on our quiz winner, thought the quiz automatically went to a tiebreaker. We're all over the place. Is it four cartons this year? Yes, it is. Yes, it is, Dave. Order. And start working out your order. I have.
You?
I've been working on it. Well, Ray, you've got to be confident. Have some belief. As I said, next week will be very tough for you to win, I'll have to say, because you won't be here. We've just got a score update in that Real Madrid versus Barcelona game. They have won. Barcelona 1-0. 1-0 the win there. And some of the other English Premier League games too. Significantly, Tottenham and Arsenal played out a 1-1 draw, and we will speak more about that after 9 o'clock with Phil Moss, our football expert, just to let you know, Manchester United 3-2.
What a role you're, man.
And Lukaku gets the winner in the 89th minute at Old Trafford. So well done. After 9 o'clock, Ray, we'll have our second question in our long-time listener China Doll quiz. We'll have a chat with Jack Hale, fastest man in Australia, and Jamison Leeson, the girl from Dunedoo.
On the way to the Paralympics, hopefully.
We're going to have a chat with her as well. Sports update with Tanya, and as I said, Phil Moss here talking football. Time for the news on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.